You're all Matt.
Thanks very much.
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll has been a hit with young readers since it was first published in 1865. And from the earliest days of cinema, the tale of the little girl and her trip down the rabbit hole has fascinated and challenged filmmakers. The latest of them is Tim Burton, who has touched on similar themes in films from Beetlejuice to Edward Scissorhands and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It just seemed like the world that Lewis Carroll created, it's just the kind of trippiness. But like, I knew more about it from listening to music and bands and other illustrators and artists that would incorporate that imagery in their work. And it just made me realize just how powerful the material was. And, you know, it's like if it were written today, it would be mind-blowing today. And it's just so the combination of the medium and the material just seemed really right.
Curiouser and curiouser.
In this latest version, adapted by Linda Wolverton from elements of the original book and its sequel, Through the Looking Glass, an older Alice returns to Wonderland a decade after her first visit.
Well, as you can see, we're still having tea. And it's all because I was at my special time waiting for your return. Terribly late, you know. Naughty.
Time can be funny in dreams.
Yes, yes, of course. But now you're back, you see. And we need to get on to the Fragile's Day.
As Alice learns from her occasionally lucid guide, the Mad Hatter, things have changed.
Since you've been gone, the Red Queen has taken over all of Wonderland.
Off with their heads!
It is up to the puzzled visitor to slay the Jabberwocky and return Wonderland to its former wonderful state. 20-year-old Australian actress Mia Wasikowska stars as this almost grown-up Alice.
I think that Alice at this time in her life that a lot of people sort of experience something that she's going through, which is this kind of uncomfortable or this discomfort in your skin and in sort of who you are. And she just sort of has this awkwardness about her that I think a lot of people go through in their life. And so that was something that I kind of understood. And ultimately, her story is her kind of coming back to who she is as a young girl, which is this very assertive, very sure of what she believes is right and wrong. And so the story is kind of just her reconnecting with herself.
From the moment I fell down that rabbit hole, I've been told what I must do and who I must be. This is my path. I'll decide where it goes from here.
Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter in this Alice in Wonderland, his seventh film with director Burton.
I would have done whatever character Tim wanted, but yeah, certainly the fact that it was the Mad Hatter was a bonus, because it was, you know, a great challenge, you know. Try to find this guy, and not just to sort of be a, you know, a rubber ball that you heave into an empty room and watch it bounce all over the place, but just to find that part of the character, but also, you know, a little bit more history or gravity to the guy, so he could go from 1 second being very highfalutin and a lot of levity, and then straight into some kind of dangerous potential rage. And then tragedy. It was interesting. It was you know, trying to map it out was really interesting.
The cast features Helena Bonham Carter as the Red Queen, with Anne Hathaway as her sister and rival, the White Queen. English TV star Matt Lucas plays both Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Stephen Fry gives voice to the quizzical Cheshire Cat. And Michael Sheen is the White Rabbit in the story that he believes continues to resonate.
I think I knew, probably as most people do, knew the characters of Alice in Wonderland before I ever read the book. You know, they're just ingrained into Western consciousness, I think. And in some ways, for me, the allure of the story is that we all live in this illusion that we're civilized and that everything makes sense and that everything has a place. And Alice in Wonderland shows you that actually it's a very thin film between sanity and insanity and total wildness and chaos and fear and all that kind of stuff, and that somehow that seems to be the most true expression of what it's like to be a child, I would imagine, where things are both familiar and strange at the same time, and when you think you know what something is, suddenly it shifts and it's become something else, and we kind of grow up and sort of forget the truth of that, or buy into the illusion that that's not the case. And I think one of the things why we're drawn back to Alice in Wonderland all the time is that it somehow reminds us of what the actual truth about life is.
But this is impossible.
And if you believe it is.
Alice in Wonderland is produced by the Walt Disney Studio, which made the 1951 animated version familiar around the world. The musical score for this Alice is composed by Danny Elfman, another frequent collaborator with director Tim Burton. Alan Silverman for the Voice of America in Hollywood.